But I don't like it here. This place gives me the chills, Dad.
Oh, just drop it, Andy. It's only for one night. Now go to sleep. Realizing my parents won't leave this motel no matter how much I try to convince them, I came back to my room. If only our car hadn't broken down in this crappy weather, we would have reached Grandma's house by now. I came back to my room and locked the door.
What the hell?
I threw myself on the bed, and right that moment, I saw something move away outside my window. It wasn't a dream. I definitely saw someone. I walked to my window and looked outside. The rain was still pouring heavily. The light post near the fence illuminated the small pathway leading into the woods. And that's when I saw her. She was so tall. She wore a black tattered gown which rested on the muddy ground. Her hair danced with the wind. Another lightning struck and I heard knocking on my door. Who could be at this hour? I turned back to the window and she was not there. The hair at the back of my neck stood up. Is it her? Is she outside my door now? How will I do? How will I call my parents? I checked my phone and it had no signal. Oh my God, I'm trapped.
Oh, Andy.
Oh no, she's calling out to me. She's real. Go away.
But you said I was just a made-up story. Are you scared of me now?
Please, go away!
Open the door! Open the door!
No!
She started banging and kicking on the door. I covered my ears and collapsed on the floor crying. I was praying to make her go away. I should have believed the story. Hugging Molly is real. If I hadn't made fun of her, this wouldn't be happening to me. Oh my God, am I gonna die? A loud thud broke down the door, and like a tornado, she entered my room. Her head touched the ceiling. Her eyes made me jump. The way she opened her jaw to her chest gave me a heart attack. She raised her claw-like hands and came at me like that. No! Andy? Andy, what happened? I woke up in the back seat of the car, hearing my mom's voice. Sweat and fear were all over my face.
Hey, did you have a bad dream?
I thought...
This is why I tell you not to watch IMR Scary Tales. Those stories can give you nightmares.
I looked around and saw the storm has stopped, but the night is still there. We were parked on a dusty road, and a blinking sign written Motel was flashing in red.
Come on, let's go in and get some rest. You'll feel better in the morning.
Why are we stopping, Dad?
Andy, it's not safe to drive in such weather. Also, your dad needs to rest. We all need to. Come now.
I wiped my face with my sleeves. It was all a bad dream after all. I grabbed my backpack and followed my parents into the motel.
Mom, please let me sleep with you guys. I can even crash on the couch. Just don't send me to sleep alone.
Fine, you can sleep with us.
I changed into my pajamas and laid down on the couch.
Oh, the washroom is outside in case you need to go. I know it's tough, but just adjust for one night, honey.
I was sure that no way I'm stepping outside the room before the sun hits the sky, but life has its way to frack you up. I don't remember what time it was, but I woke up to the loud sound of thunder. The rain had started again. The sudden urge to pee made it impossible to sleep. I'm already sharing the room with my parents, and now I'm about to wet my bed? Damn it, Andy, you're not a chicken. Be a man. I got up and looked outside the window. There was no light post outside. It was all pitch black. I grabbed my phone and turned on the flashlight. I came out of the room taking slow steps. Can't lie, but once I made it outside, that unknown fear clutched me once again. I could see the washroom at the end of the passage. No doubt we're the only ones in this motel. I looked around and made a run for it. Once I got in, I locked the door. I was panting in fear. After finishing my business, I felt a little relieved. All I've got to do now is go back to my room and sleep the night off. I braced myself and opened the bathroom window. As I peeked out, I saw the empty, dark corridor lying ahead of me. Man, that dream spooked me out. I closed the bathroom door behind me and turned around to take my step when I heard a chuckle. I slowly turned my head back to the passage and saw something sitting on the floor in a crouched position. It wore a black gown that was tattered in places.
What? What are you doing?
Whoever was sitting stood up, hearing my voice. I have never seen someone so tall before. It was a woman whose long hair dripped rainwater. She had no eyelids, and her mouth was open into a huge jaw.
I missed you, Andy. Did you miss me?
She ran towards me at full speed, and before I could run, she hugged me tightly with her sloppy, clawed hands. She brought her face extremely close to my ears and talking out her dirty, long tongue scream into my ear. I don't remember anything after that. No, he was never like this before. It all started after we spent the night in that motel, Doc.
Please do something. It isn't normal for a 12-year-old boy to wet his bed every night. He wakes up screaming, and not just that. I don't know how he gets these bruises. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Calm down, Mrs. Pierce. I know it's tough for parents to witness their child going like this, but I think it's best to consult a psychiatrist now.
Rock-a-bye may be on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bell breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle, and all.
Hey guys, my name is Leon, and my girlfriend's name is Ashley. We were both on a trip to my parents' house, but I must admit that by trying to take a shortcut, I got us lost. It was getting dark, and we had to spend the night in a motel, so I stopped at a gas station and asked where there was one. The man at the gas station was just terrifying. His face was completely deformed. The only eye the man had was pure white. I could swear the eye was plastic, but somehow he could see us.
The nearest motel is a few miles away, strangers. But be careful. God is more present than ever in these lands. His eyes will be upon you at all times.
Sure. Thank you. We both continued on our journey, and as the terrifying man said, the motel was only a few miles away. I didn't want to probe into what he meant by bad habits. I just wanted to get away from him as fast as possible. When we entered the motel, the owner, who was sitting motionless in his chair, seemed nice enough, but something disturbed us. His smile was dark, almost obsessive. Although we were very well taken care of, we felt that we didn't belong there. But we couldn't continue driving at night. The road was complicated. I was sleepy and Ashley didn't know how to drive. We went into the room and left our things, but we couldn't help but feel watched. I walked quickly to the curtain and violently opened the window. A silhouette came out desperately. Someone was spying on us. I didn't get to see the person behind the curtain. I only saw how a part of his silhouette was walking calmly as if nothing had happened. I hate this crappy motel.
Just, let's go to sleep. Let's lock the door and close the windows.
Yeah, we'll leave in the morning. Ashley fell asleep pretty quickly. I could tell she was more tired than I was. Even though I was very sleepy, I just couldn't sleep. I felt watched. I felt that someone was close to us. Suddenly, I heard a noise inside the room. It wasn't a person. It was a metallic noise. I woke Ashley up and turned on the lights. We started looking for where the noise was coming from. It was a camera. A camera was spying on us from a vase. We kept looking and found cameras everywhere. The walls, the furniture, even a screw on the bed. Furious, I told Ashley to stay in the room and went straight to the owner's room. I told him everything that was going on with enormous anger, but something about his smile made the anger go away. He just looked at me happily with a twisted, macabre smile. As he listened to me, I was shaking. It was as if he was about to explode from the pent-up anger he felt, as if he was compelled not to stop smiling.
Sir, are you accusing me of filming a client? Our motel may be small, but here we make sure our clients have the stay of a lifetime.
I know what I saw. It was full of cameras and...
I interrupted my own sentence when I realized that the man had a huge knife in his hands. As if realizing he had been discovered, the man jumped out of his chair with the knife and fell to the floor where he slowly crawled in my direction.
Sir, I think you owe me and the hotel an apology. Here we do nothing but offer you the best service.
This man was crazy. I had to find Ashley and leave as soon as possible. As I ran to our room, I couldn't help but notice something. The man is a cripple. When I opened the door to the room, my girlfriend was not alone. The man we had met at the gas station was grabbing Ashley's neck and holding a knife to her throat.
Leon! Help!
Let her go!
You shouldn't have broken God's eye, strangers. Now you can't leave.
I lunged violently at the man, but without letting go of Ashley, he kicked my chest with his huge boot and threw me several feet back. Effortlessly, he lifted my girlfriend up and started walking towards the exit. I tried to get up but immediately fell back to the ground with no air. That kick had really hurt me. The man was already by the exit, and I couldn't do anything but watch him until something stopped him.
Torres, I have asked you not to bring your Catholic things into my hotel. Don't you see that you scare my customers?
Furious, the man grabbed the hotel owner by the head and lifted him up. With brute force, he began to squeeze his skull harder and harder.
Overmoan, you were always a disappointment to both God and me. Always obsessed with this piece of stone.
Let me go!
Luckily, I haven't considered you my father for a long time. My only father is up there, and he wants to see you personally to say a few words to you.
Ashley saw me terrified, and with all my strength, we took advantage of this moment to run as fast as we could out of the hotel. As we went down the corridor, I turned around and watched, as with one last effort, the man exploded the cripple's skull with his fingers, cracking it like a pumpkin. We ran to the car, but it wouldn't start.
What the hell is wrong with this? It's never failed me before!
Leon, look!
A few yards away, there was a trail of gasoline coming from our car, and at the end of the trail, an engine was on the ground. That was the engine of my car. We got out with bloody hands, and a few meters away, a man who called himself Betores walked in our direction.
Oh, dirty sinners. You are no longer welcome in these lands. Flee, or the divine fury will fall upon you.
In response, we ran as fast as we could down the road until we could not breathe from exhaustion. We had lost track of Betores, the gas station, or the motel. In the longest minutes of our lives, a couple picked us up on the highway and took us to the nearest town. We never heard from the strange man again. From that day on, Ashley learned to drive, and today we take turns driving. We will never park in a motel again.
Hi, I'm Maggie. I had just gotten married and was on my way back to our honeymoon with my wonderful and sweet husband, Joseph. We had booked this place by the beach. Joseph loved to drive, so we decided to drive to the place instead of taking a flight. We left in the morning. We're supposed to reach the place by sunset, but suddenly, our car broke down and we were stranded in the middle of nowhere. We took out our phones and were trying to make a call, but there was no network. We were wondering what to do. We had to find a ride to the next town so that we could find a garage to get the car repaired, but there was no one in sight. The sun started to go back down and we were getting worried, when a car that passed by suddenly stopped and came back near us. A gentleman with pale blue eyes and a strange haircut got down and asked us,
"Hi, I'm Rob. Is everything okay?"
Joseph told him what had happened, and he smiled and told us that it's already too late. And then he told us about this motel nearby where we could spend the night and figure out what to do in the morning. Joseph looked at me, and I thought it wasn't a bad idea, so we agreed to go with him. We somehow pushed the car to the side of the road, parked it, and left with Rob. Rob took us to this motel, the Highway Heaven, but honestly, it looked like hell.
It was creepy, with low lighting and walls that looked straight out of the Victorian era. Rob smiled sheepishly and apologized for the condition of the motel. He told us he was redecorating and hence it did look a bit out of shape. He actually gave the room free of cost and told us that he knew a garage in the next town and would take us there first thing in the morning. We settled down in the room. It was cozy, but had an eerie feeling to it. A little while later, there was a knock on the door. It was Rob. He had come to invite us for dinner that he specially made for us. We sat at the dinner table and Rob served the food himself. He had the strangest smile. It was less of a smile, but more of a creepy serial killer. It gave me the chill down my spine, but the dinner he made was so delicious and we were so hungry that we ignored all of that and just ate our food. During dinner, I asked Rob,
"Do you live here alone, Rob?"
He told me that he was not alone always. He was married once, and this place actually belonged to his wife. I asked him where his wife is, and he suddenly fell silent. He looked at me with a cold stare and then told me that his wife had killed herself when she was pregnant. I felt really sorry for Rob, but later that night, the strangest thing happened. I was woken up by the sounds of chants. It was strange and eerie. I could see light through the bottom of the door, and it was moving. I got scared and woke up Joseph, but by the time he woke up, the sound and light had gone. I tried to tell Joseph, but he wouldn't believe me. I insisted that he go and check. He was irritated, but went and opened the door. There was no one outside. It was all peaceful and quiet. He told me to go back to bed. I couldn't sleep, so Joseph hugged me tight and helped me go to bed. It must have hardly been a couple of hours when we heard a loud banging sound, like someone was using the axe or something like that. We were wondering what was happening when we saw the shadow of a man outside our window. We were shocked beyond belief. It was the shadow of a man lifting his axe and a man pleading for his life.
"No, no, no, please, please don't do this!"
The man holding the axe gave out a loud laugh and brought the axe down so fast and chopped something off the man. There was a loud thud and the man yelling in pain. We immediately rushed to the front office to tell Rob about this, but he wasn't there. We rung the bell, but there was no answer. I was panicking and told Joseph,
"Let's get out of here. Now!"
Joseph told me that it was too late in the night to go anywhere. He saw the phone and picked it up to call the cops, but the phone line was dead. We decided to go and check the room from where the loud noise came. The room was right above our own room. We climbed up to the next floor, and there was a long corridor, and we didn't know which room exactly it was, so we decided to check all the rooms. I was right behind Joseph. I was scared and holding on to his hand while he opened the door of one of the rooms. There was no one inside, and strangely, there were no beds either. We went through the other rooms, and they were empty too. I was getting very scared. Joseph was about to open the door of another room when suddenly, it opened and Rob was standing in front of us, smiling. Joseph told him about the loud noise we heard, but what I saw when I looked down shook the earth beneath me. Rob was holding the axe in his hand, which was stained in blood. By the time I could show Joseph the axe, Rob smiled and menacingly said,
"I hate marriages. They are a curse, and I will kill everyone who gets married."
He lifted his axe to chop us when I pushed him and ran from there. Rob chased us with his axe, all while yelling,
"I'll kill you! Marriage is a curse!"
We came down the stairs and ran towards the main door, but it was locked. Joseph was struggling to open it. Rob walked towards us and gave out a menacing laughter when he saw us struggling. I was thinking what to do when I saw something and an idea hit me. I bent down and pulled the rug under Rob. He slipped and fell down and let go of the axe. Rob hit his head hard and was struggling to get up. And just then, Joseph broke open the lock and we escaped from that hell of a motel. It was the worst night of my life.